the tabernacle. We've been talking about the furniture of the tabernacle, and tonight we're going to talk about another piece of the furniture, the altar of incense. And really, this is one of the most exciting pieces of furniture because it says a whole lot about what we even do in the house of God in church. And so we're going to be talking about that tonight. What I'm going to begin where I'm going to end. But have you ever seen someone, I know you have, but come to the altar for salvation, to get back to the Lord? They've been backslidden. They've come to the altar much like this man has come. Have you ever seen them as they prayed and wept and used Kleenex and called out to God and their shoulders shook? But all of a sudden, faith kicked in. They realized what God was doing for them. Instead of kneeling down, all of a sudden, they raised up. They threw their head back, lifted up their face, and threw their hands into the air and began to worship God. Have you seen that? You know, the tabernacle pictures that. That first piece of furniture that you encountered, that brazen altar, the piece of the furniture with all the blood, all the sacrifice. To go to that brazen altar is like this man is to go down to the altar and have your sins taken care of and confess your sins and say, oh Lord, forgive me and I believe. That's that brazen altar. But as you move on into the tabernacle to that piece of furniture we're going to talk about tonight, the altar of incense. The brazen altars is when you're kneeled over taking care of the sin by the blood of Jesus. But this altar of incense is when you lift up your hands and begin to worship and say, thank you Lord for your mercy. Thank you Lord for your grace. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I've been encouraged. Is don't stop at the brazen altar. Thank God we need to take care of our sins. And thank God they can't. But oh, let's move on till we get to the altar of incense with that unadulterated worship and gratitude directed to God. Amen. Directed to God. Hallelujah. Praising Him. Amen. Past the brazen altar to the altar of incense in worshiping the Lord. Amen. Altar of incense. Here's the layout of the tabernacle, the floor plan. And right here is the altar of... Went too fast there. Right there is the altar of incense. Past the first door, past that first veilt into the holy place, three pieces of furniture. We've already talked about the other two. And tonight we're going to talk about this piece, the altar of incense. Here is the replica. And there is that piece of furniture. Let's read the description from the scripture tonight of this altar. Thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four squares shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make it under the crown of it, the two corners thereof, upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be four places for the staves to bear it withal. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. Gold reached $1,500 an ounce this week. And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony. There was a lot of gold on this piece of furniture. The ark of the testimony before the mercy seat that is over the testimony where I will meet with thee. Don't forget, that's the whole purpose of this. God wants to meet with us. How many wants to meet with God? Amen. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when, this will be important later, when he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at evening, that was the morning last verse, now it's the evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. That's why young people need to worship the Lord. Amen. Because God wants, when one generation begins to tire and pass on, he wants the other generation to already be worshiping him. It's a perpetual thing into all your generations. You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering thereon. It's just for the incense, but it's got to be God's incense. You can't have something of your own making. Amen. We just need worship the way God defines it in Scripture. We don't need anything else. We don't need strange incense. We need the incense of a grateful heart. Amen. Moved upon by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the altar, the description of the altar. It was 18 inches. We've converted the cubits into inches. 18 inches. 18 inches by 36 inches high. Just a little bit different size. This is a little wide here, but and this pulpit, the center part of it. And then it was made of shittim wood. We call that acacia wood today. And it was overlaid with gold. It had a golden crown around it to keep the coals of fire and incense upon it. It had four horns on the four corners. And it had rings with staves. Again, they were a people on the move. They were people on a journey, pilgrims. And this tabernacle had to be moved. And so the pieces of furniture had to have preparations made for that. Now let's talk about the incense. The Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices, stacte, onica, galbanum. How many of you ladies have these spices in your spice cabinet? Anyone? Okay. I think I'll have some stacte on my eggs. These sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each there shall be a like weight. So of the three, they were in equal weights. And the base of this is the frankincense. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt be some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume or the incense which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Not only should you not offer a different incense, the only place this incense was to be used was on the altar, not in your homes or anywhere else. Whosoever shall make like unto it that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. And so the incense was made of these three spices in a base of frankincense. They were beaten very small. It was like a powder that was put upon the coals of fire. And none should make anything like it for their own use. Now, I know we have to kind of just bear with it for a second till we get the details here. But then the Lord will help us to apply this to our lives. But that was the altar, a description of the altar and the incense. What about the place and purpose of the altar of incense? The altar of incense, right here, centered in the holy place. Remember our cross outline? It'd be this third piece right here. That's the altar of incense. It was centered with the entrance of the holy place and just before the veiled entrance of the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. And so right here is that first door, the first veil, and it's centered with it. And then it's right before that final veil, the veil that gets, I just read that this evening, the veil that's rent at Jesus' death on the cross. That altar of incense sat right there before that veil. What was the purpose? Well, altar of incense, what's the purpose of the altar of incense? For burning incense. That was pretty tough. The purpose of the altar of incense was to burn and to offer incense. We've already got the smell of that bread we talked about last Wednesday night. And now with that, we have the smell, the fragrance of this incense burning upon this altar. There's another rendition of it all. The altar is all about, we're going to apply this now, look at the type and illustration of it. The altar, this altar of incense, is all about prayer and praise. I'm convinced we need more prayer and we need more praise. I'm telling you the truth, I'm not making this up. God designed this tabernacle. He designed this altar. He had the incense put upon the coals of fire so that smoke could go heavenward and fill that holy place. He did all of that as a lesson that he desires his people, when they come into his house, to direct praise and prayer to heavenward. And that prayer and praise will be a sweet fragrance before God. Can you say amen? That prayer and praise comprises the intercession to God. Now here's why. This is important to get. This is the key to understanding it. Only one priest took that incense and put it up on the altar and made that smoke. But that one priest was representing all the people. All the people of Israel couldn't come in there. So the one priest, he put the incense. So the incense that he put up there that symbolizes the prayers, amen, was his doing it for all the people. He was, in a sense, praying for the people. He was, in a sense, praising for the people. Therefore, he was an intercessor. How many remembers when the folks waited for Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist? Out, the people were waiting for Zacharias outside the temple. That's what Zacharias was doing. He was putting incense upon the altar. Therefore, that incense that was for all the people made him an intercessor. He was praying. He was reaching out to God for others. You know, that's a real lost thing, and I can't just limit ourselves to that tonight. One thing that's being lost in the economy of the church is an intercessor. We understand praying for ourselves, praying for our own families, praying for our children, but the Bible has a lot to say about being the one that prays for other folks, prays for other people's need. As Sister P said tonight, let's pray for our missionary. And so not only can we offer prayer and praise to God for ourselves, and we should, but we are to offer prayer and praise to God for others. Hallelujah. How many know some are too sick or too lost to pray for themselves? Amen. What is intercession? It's prayer by one person on the behalf of another. The priest prayed to God for all the people. Christ prays to the Father for us all. But we, following Christ's example, we too can pray for others. From the Old Testament, that's the lesson. That priest that entered that place, put the incense, he was praying to God for all the people. But he was just a picture of the Christ who was to come. And how many knows Christ, even tonight, is at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying to the Father for us. I was reading John today, John 17. John said, Jesus said in John, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them because you've given them to me, and all thine are mine and mine are thine. He said, Jesus said, I'm praying for them. But we too can be like that priest in Christ, and we can pray for others. What is the type and the illustration of the altar itself? Let's look at the different parts really quickly here. It was made of acacia wood overlaid with gold, and we're revisiting it again, but here it is again. The gold is a type of Christ's divinity, his God, and the wood is a part of his humanity, the man. And so that altar being wood overlaid with gold was Jesus, the God-man, the incarnate one, the divine and human one. That's what it typified. It all speaks of Christ. Amen. I know there's other lessons to learn, but all through this tabernacle, it's saying Jesus, 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 Jesus. I believe church still ought to be that way, don't you? Everything ought to be Jesus, Jesus. The tabernacle speaks of our approach to God, but only through the God-man Jesus can we approach God. That's the lesson of the tabernacle. Come to God, approach God. But only through Jesus can you approach God. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, or literally, but if any man sin, we have an advocate. That's what that priest putting the incense on the altar, praying for the people was. He was an advocate. But we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Hallelujah. Think about it. Somebody pleads our case to God. It's Jesus. Paul said, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That was the wood of the altar. And then that altar had a golden crown about it to keep the fire on it and the incense on it. And this speaks of Christ crowned with the diadem. Amen. Christ crowned, the sovereign, exalted to sit on the right hand of God with earth as his footstool. And in that exalted position, he makes intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. We're celebrating Jesus coming out of the tomb. When he came out of the tomb, I know he was here for 40 days, but he ascended to the Father. And ever since that day, almost 2,000 years ago, when he ascended to the Father, he has been making intercession for we, his people, for us, his people. Can you say amen? Then what about the four horns on corners? Again, I want to remind us that horns in Scripture speak of power. They worked a lot with animals then. No, the animals of the wild with horns, but the domesticated animals, the oxen and the sheep and the goats. And the horn was the power of those animals. And so you can read all through Scripture and the prophets about horns, and horns speak of the power. There is a power in prayer. This altar of incense has four horns. And the incense is praise and prayer, and therefore those horns are telling us that there is power in prayer. There is power in praise. How many believe that tonight? There is power in prayer. It's not just a cathartic thing. It's not just an emotional therapy when you pray. Amen. If you're really talking to God in prayer, there's a power to that. Hallelujah. And there's a power in praise. Amen. We used to sing years ago, the chains that seem to bind us drop powerless behind us when we praise the Lord. Have you ever felt the power begin to surge into your life as you praise God? Hallelujah. The power of God, those four horns, the power of God is released in our lives when we pray and when we praise Him. Again, notice the direction of this. I'm going to bring it together in a moment. The direction is heavenward. Amen. As long as we're bowed down to ourselves, as long as we're looking into our own self, our own resources, our own world, there's no power to that. But when we lift ourselves, our gaze, our hearts up above ourselves and our, and we begin to direct our prayers to God, there is a power in that. Hallelujah. There's power in prayer and praise. Then what about the type or the illustration, I should say, of the rings with the staves, rings with the staves through them, the holes through them to carry that thing. Again, that speaks that the people of God were on the move. We're on the move. And I believe since those saints were on the altar of incense, the lesson is wherever they went, there was to be prayer and praise. They were on the move, Sister Rose, but wherever they went, that altar of incense went, which meant prayer and praise. How many believes that wherever we go, it ought to be prayer and praise? In fact, if you can't have prayer and praise there, maybe you went somewhere you shouldn't have went. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to know we're a people on the move? And whatever the journey's like, we can pray. We can praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There should be prayer and praise wherever we go. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. I know Paul was a student of the Old Testament, and I just had to believe when he wrote this admonition, he had this altar of incense in mind with the staves and the rings in it. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Amen. Then I left the size to last, 18 inches by 36 inches. The point is, this is the tallest piece of furniture. And I believe it speaks to us that the praise of Christ ought to take preeminence in all our worship. Hallelujah. You know, I so appreciate, this is just one of those things I'm grabbing right out of the air. I so appreciate the unity we have in the body of Christ here. I really do. But I've said it for years, and I believe it so fervently, that when we cease to rally around Christ, we cease to unify around Christ, then we will divide and split over any everything. When something becomes an issue that divides the body of Christ, it's because, as in unison, we've quit focusing on Him. I believe in everything we do in this church, I believe the altar of incense ought to be the highest. In other words, the goal to praise Christ through that ought to have the preeminence. It's about praising Him. Our lives ought to be like that. Can you praise Christ in that thing in your life? Prayer ought to be prominent in our worship. Some will say, you mean you guys still take prayer requests up in church? That's for small groups. That's for Sunday school. That's for prayer. You know one of the reasons we do that? Because Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And He was talking about the tabernacle, then the temple, and now the church. And that's why that altar of incense, which symbolized that prayer, was so tall. Prayer ought to be prominent in our worship. We don't come to be spectators of a show. We come to be participators in praying. And we take prayer requests because remember that priest was offering that for the people. We're praying for others. The altar of incense was all about offering incense. Wow, that's redundancy. But that's the point of it. Let's look at that incense and to this fact. There is no incense, though, that could be offered until the blood had been applied. That altar was for offering incense, but they could put no incense on the altar until first the blood had been applied. Let's look at the scripture here. And Aaron shall make atonement upon the horns of it once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. And so that very first time and after that, those years that passed, they could not put incense upon that altar. And the blood had been put on first. I believe it's still that way. Amen. It takes the blood first. You see, go back. Let's rewind to that brazen altar. There were two things taken from the brazen altar into the holy place to the altar of incense. Those two things were coals of fire. Okay, from the sin offering that had taken place. You took the coals of fire from the sin offering. And you took blood from the sin offering. Both those two things came from the brazen altar. The priest then took them in, passed that first veil into the holy place, and he put them on that altar of incense. The blood was put on the horns of the altar of the incense. And there's a picture of a priest doing that. He's putting the blood. You can see the incense there, but actually the blood would have applied before the incense was burned. And the coals were put on the top of the altar of incense, and then the incense was put on top of those coals, scattered on top of those coals. And so go to the brazen altar, get coals, get blood, go to the altar of incense, put the blood on the horns, put the coals on top, and then scatter the incense upon the coals. And that caused a smoke to ascend to God. I believe all that teaches us the lesson. There cannot be true worship to God unless first sin has been taken care of and blood has been applied to the worshiper. Hallelujah. You know, one time something really interesting happened there in the Neosho church. I probably should mention which church, but no one will put this story together. It was one of the most tremendous moves of God I'd ever seen. I mean, the power of God was in the place. But there was a man that came infrequently with a wife. He did not live for God. He did not live for Christ. And the presence of God came down. Instead of coming to the altar and get his heart to the Lord, all of a sudden he was overcome with the power of God. And everybody was just worshiping him. And I saw him. I can still remember him so clearly. He just lit up his hands. He still had his eyes open. He even started saying some things with the rest of the people. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And afterwards someone said, wasn't that great that so-and-so? Did you see them worshiping God tonight? And I said, you know, I'm not sure it's so great. Because I know where he lives. I know his life. And he's never repented. He's never gotten saved. But just being overcome by the presence of God, he wanted to worship. That's out of order. A lot of folks do that, not just him. A lot of folks will come in just in the emotion of the moment. The song is good. The song is moving. They'll get right in with the rest, but they've never taken care of the sin in their life. The lesson from the altar is you take care of the sin. And thank God he provided the means. The blood of Jesus. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. And it's in our sins taken care of. Then, hallelujah, we can throw our hands in the air and say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. But the altar of incense teaches us that lesson. So he's got it all ready in his hands. He got the incense. He's about to put it on the altar. And when he does, then that smoke ascends up. Amen. And that's what the picture of it is. Hallelujah. That's what they saw in the tabernacle. But you're right. That's what God sees. That's his altar of incense in the church. When people begin to worship him. And when we begin to worship him. Hallelujah. Oh, church, that's why it's so important. I know we have leaders to tell us, hey, this is a good time to worship the Lord. But we ought to just come in here and be the altar of incense. Because when we lift our hearts and hands and begin to worship him and put ourselves aside, this is an intercessory place, and just worship and praise God, amen, it makes a sweet fragrance to the Lord. Oh, I want to worship more than I ever have. Amen. The incense speaks of all is great and holy and lovely about Christ because it was a perfume. It smelled wonderful. And so it's telling us Jesus is wonderful. We didn't sing it when we were singing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But sometimes we sing, "To me, he is so wonderful." That's the incense. Everything about him is lovely and honorable and holy and wonderful. The incense was put up on the altar when the lamp was tended and lit. I read it to you in the scripture. But in the morning, the priest went in there and trimmed the wicks and replenished oil, got the light burning brightly. And at that time, the priest also put incense on the altar. Now, we've already said that lampstand is a type of the Spirit through the Word making the things of God real to us. It's the Word of God. Now, notice what God does. He said, you don't put incense on the altar until you get the wicks trimmed, the oil in the lamp. In other words, the Word goes with prayer. Now, listen to me. I'm about done, but this is so important. Even in this picture of the tabernacle, God tied the two together. You only put incense on the altar when you've taken care of the lamp. The lamp is figurative of the Word, the Spirit working through the Word. And the altar of incense is prayer and praise. And God's saying right there, they go together. You don't separate them. You don't just have prayer and praise and no Word. You don't just have Word and no prayer and praise. They go together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I understand what people mean, and we have those kind of services where the Holy Ghost takes over, and we are always open to the spontaneous moving of the Holy Spirit. But the way I look at it, we have those times that happen, but we have Word. We had the Word Sunday morning. We had it in the Sunday school class. Amen. We had it, the message there, the words of exhortation. But some folks will say, you know, we've been eight services and we hadn't had any preaching because the Spirit moved. Like they don't go together. You know what I'm saying? Like they're two separate things. Either the Spirit moves or you can have the Word, but you can't have them both. God ties them together. He says, yes, we need praise and we need prayer, but we need the Word. Yes. Hallelujah. Don't put the incense on till the wicks are trimmed. And I believe it's an open heart to the Word. I believe it's the Word being preached that puts the prayer and the praise in our heart. How are you going to sit and put the incense on if the lamp of the Word isn't burning brightly in your life? I've seen folks mess up in this area. I knew a woman that seemed to be an extremely spiritual woman in the amount of time she prayed. Had a little cottage, prayer cottage built to pray in. But she'd go out and pray for hours, and then she'd do the craziest things. I mean, just like a pendulum swing from one idea to another. It was just crazy. And it became clear to me one time, even though I was very young at the time, the problem was she had a lot of prayer, but she wasn't getting enough Word. And some people, I've known them, boy, they can quote things from this book, but they're as dry as shucks, as the old-timers used to say. See, it's never God's will to have one without the other. He wants us to have both. Amen? Prayer and the Word always go together. There used to be an old saying, I modified it a bit, but all prayer and you'll blow up. I can start telling you stories here. We got to pray. I don't think we pray enough, but they're together. I won't give you the details tonight. I'll spare it, but I'm thinking of another church. They got into prayer mode. They were praying hours every day, but they weren't getting this. And pretty soon they were doing some off-of-the-wall crazy things. Now you want me to tell you, but we don't have time. All prayer and you blow up. All Word and you dry up. But both and you go up. You go up. By tying the lamp to the altar of incense, God is tying the Word to prayer and praise. This was the last piece of furniture before going past the veil and coming before the Ark of the Covenant into the throne room of God. Prayer and praise will bring us before the throne of God and to His presence. This is a cutaway view. Here the priest is offering incense. That's the last thing before he goes past the veil into the very presence of God, the throne room of God. Oh, we need to enter into the throne room of God, don't we? In that straight line, there was the brazen altar, then the laver, then the altar of incense, and then the throne of God. Hallelujah. Straight line there. And again, the brazen altar. You take care of your sin, the laver. God deals with you with the things that led you into sin. But then the altar of incense, you're praising God. And then there you are in the very throne of God. Amen. We'll get there the next time we're in this. There was the blood, the cleansing of the word, sincere prayer and praise, and then on in to the very presence of God. The priest never came with the incense without praise and thanksgiving. That's why Paul says in Hebrews, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Amen. And again, one of the purposes of our study, and we'll be through in just a few minutes here. One of the purposes of our study is for New Testament scriptures to take on the full meaning that was behind them when the apostles wrote them. And again, I'm convinced that the writer of Hebrews, he had this in mind. He had this in mind, the altar of incense, when he said the sacrifice of praise. Hey, man, how many knows that every time we come together to worship, we have to be offering the sacrifice of praise, putting incense on the altar. The procedure was praise and prayer, but the purpose was intercession. The purpose was to pray for others. Amen. Look what it says in Psalms 141 and 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. Here's another allusion. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. When the wicks are, the oil's put in, the light burns brightly, and incense is put upon that altar. Amen. May my prayer be like that. Our corporate worship needs to be vertically oriented. Vertically oriented. Everything about the altar incense, its height, the rise of the smoke, says that our worship should be vertically directed. Amen. I'll get to that in a moment. We used to sing one of those old songs, you know, that are too primitive for folks to sing now, I guess. But I thought about it a lot. I think if it's right to our picture, we sing, going up, up, up. Going up, up, up. The praises of the saints are going up. And then switch and say, coming down, down, down. Coming down, down, down. The glory of the Lord is coming down. That's a picture tabernacle. An altar of incense, Sister Brock. Going up, up. The praises of the saints are going up. But that ushered them in past the veil where the glory of God had come down into their very midst. How many believes if we'll please him this way, vertically? Amen. I believe it should be vertical. You'll hear me say it sometimes. I like that song. It's vertical. I like different kinds of music. And I know Pentecostal and all of that. But the chief purpose of music should be to make us stomp our foot and look around and say, ooh, that's good music, isn't it? Right? It ought to be vertical. That's what I've been laughed at for saying, you know, some young people say, I like this kind of music. I like that kind of music. We're talking about Christian music. And I say, fine. And you take that music and play it as you kneel to pray, and it takes your soul and moves your soul upward as you pray. I think it's a good test for a lot of things. Does it cause your soul to go vertical? Amen. Praise is to be vertical. Worship is to be vertical. Amen. And as we've been doing, let's close with some life lessons. Lessons we can take home. First of all, again, here's our schematic. There's a progression both in church and in a private prayer time. We start at the brazen altar. That's justification. We deal with guilt and condemnation of sin. At the brazen altar, I need to take care of any unconfessed, unwashed sins before proceeding. And then we move on to laver, private time and at church. That's where the water is. That's sanctification. We deal with our sinful nature and the appeal of the world. It's at labor that I say I need to let God deal with me about cleanse me from those things that lead me into sin or away from him. And then from there we move to the lampstand. The lampstand is about illumination. The Holy Spirit illuminates Christ to us and makes the principles and the truths of the Word real. It's there at the lampstand that I say I need the Holy Spirit through the Word to make the things of God real to my understanding. And then from the lampstand we move to the table of showbread. And there that speaks of sustenance and fellowship. In our fellowship with God, our hearts are fed. It's there at the table of showbread that I say I need the nourishment to my soul. I've got to have manna from above. I need the fellowship with Christ. But then tonight we move past the table of showbread to the altar of incense. And the altar of incense, private time, public worship, says prayer and praise, intercede before God. There at the altar of incense, I realize it's while I praise and worship God and focus on him that I find myself right there before his throne in his presence. So here's the life lessons. Prayer and praise, again coupled with the word, but prayer and praise will take us right before the throne of God. Oh, hallelujah. Another life lesson. Our personal time should be dominated by the vertical. I'm not going to open a new message tonight. But sometimes I realize when I think I'm praying, I'm not really praying. I'm talking to myself. You know what I mean by that? I'm just mulling over my troubles and having my little pit party and, you know, worrying about things. In other words, my prayers are U-turns. You ever felt like your prayers were U-turns? The altar of incense says our prayers should be vertical. That's why you ought to begin your prayer times magnifying the Lord, praising Him. Great is the Lord and great to be praised. Hallelujah. And then another spiritual lesson. Spiritual power in our lives depends on prayer in our lives. Spiritual power in our lives depends on prayer in our lives. Been about 10 years ago now, but I'll never forget the way Brother Brand, older Brother Brand, simply put it. He said, listen, church, little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. That's what the altar of incense says. Amen. And then the life lesson is we need to learn to pray and praise on the move. Amen. That's what those rings and staves were talking about. And what I mean by that, we can't always find a private closet. We can't always get to church. We're busy. We live in a hectic world. We're moving here and there, going here. Oh, but if we learn to worship and praise God on the move. I'm not talking about refusing to take time out to praise God. I'm saying we can't take time out. We're still praising God. I've told you several times, probably many times, about that time going through St. Louis traffic, multiple lanes, traffic backing up, and I look over there and there's this man driving with the steering wheel held by his arms like this. He had both hands up in the air, and he was just speaking in tongues and tearing out his cheeks. Oh, he had the ark incense on those staves, and he was on the move, but he was still praising and praying to God. Pray without ceasing, Paul said. Hallelujah. We used to sing in Bible school when I was there. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, whenever I can, I'll praise Him. We sing that in the lunch line. Amen. Learn to pray and praise on the move. And then last of all, there's other lessons, but this is the last one I want to leave with you. The prayers that please God and result in His blessing are those we offer in behalf of others. Intercessory prayer. I know we have to pray for our own selves and our own needs. But I'm telling you, the ones that really please God and really bring blessings to our life, when we move beyond just offering incense for ourselves, realize that God has called us to be priests, put the incense on the altar for others, pray and intercede for the need of others. Hallelujah. Would you come, music? Praise the name of the Lord. I wonder if anyone, even I, amen, would like to leave that brazen altar, get those sins taken care of. Then get to that altar of incense and just worship Him. Let your praise ascend to God. Hallelujah. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I bless Thee, O Lord. That's the altar of incense. Would you stand? Let's just do that right now. Amen. Let's just lift our hearts and hands and just envision that you're putting incense upon the altar. Amen. You want there to be smoke that ascends to God that pleases Him. Let's praise Him across the building. Lord, we praise You tonight. Lord, we worship You tonight. Lord, thank You. Oh, hallelujah. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless You, O Lord. I'll bless You, O Lord. I'll bless You. I'll praise You. I know I got problems and troubles and difficulties. I know all that, God, but I will lift my heart. I lift my hands up. I will praise Thee. I will praise Thee, O God. Hallelujah. For You're worthy to be praised. You're worthy to be honored. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Bless Your name, Lord. Bless Your name, Lord. Bless Your name, Lord.